God Almighty, we thank you for your kindness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us to come before your throne. We love you, dear God. That's why we find ourselves here this morning. Help us to know that you love us, dear Lord, and that you want us, dear Lord, to continue to try to live a life that's in keeping with your will. You want us, dear Lord, to try to keep singing songs of glory to you, dear Lord, from our hearts, because we love you and we care for you and we love one another and care for one another. And because of your love, dear Lord, for us, you help us. You teach us how to love one another. Let us not, dear Lord, be caught up in this world, but help us, dear Lord, to know, to teach, and to live for our loved ones and our neighbors and friends, dear Lord, that they might know one day this earth, dear Lord, will come to an end, and those who love you and obey your will be caught up with your Son, Jesus Christ, dear Lord, that will take the church to glory to be with you. Lord, we pray that you will protect us from evil, that you will protect the church from evil, that you will protect the church that meets here at Franklin from evil. Help us to live above this world. Help us to live above the politics of this world. Help us to live above, dear Lord, the sickness of this world, knowing, dear Lord, that you are a cure for all our diseases, dear Lord, physically, mentally, and spiritually. Help us to hold on to Jesus, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. Our prayer scripture this morning is 1 Timothy 3:16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up to glory. Amen. I want to be a worker. I want to be a worker for the Lord. I want to love and trust his holy word. I want to sing and pray and be busy every day in the vineyard of the Lord. I will pray in the vineyard of my Lord. I will labor every day in the vineyard of the Lord. I want to be a worker every day. I want to lead the arrows in the way that leads to heaven above, where all is peace and love in the kingdom of the Lord. I will pray in the vineyard of the Lord. I will pray, I will labor every day in the vineyard of the Lord. I want to be a worker strong and brave. I want to trust in Jesus' power to save. All who will truly come shall find a happy home in the kingdom of the Lord. I will pray in the vineyard of the Lord. I will pray, I will labor every day in the vineyard of my Lord.
Matthew chapter 1, verse 1 and 16 and 17. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David until the captivity in Babylon are 14 generations. And from captivity in Babylon until the Christ are 14 generations. You may be seated. I want to say good morning. It's a wonderful morning. It's a bright and promising morning, given that we are on our way out of that cold that was just hovering over us. It's been quite a while. Maybe never. I've never seen 15 degree wind chills in Alaska, Louisiana. I'm glad that God has blessed us to be here this morning on this wonderful morning. And whether you're a member of this Franklin family or a visitor or a virtual guest, I'm glad that you're here today, grateful that God brought us together for yet another opportunity for worship, praise, and fellowship among those of us who would be the saints of God. Now, shall I open up my Bible to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. And my invitation is for you to join me there as these verses will serve as the text for today's lesson. We won't have any verses on the scripture because our own brother Vaughn is with his mother who's in ICU. He's usually the flipper. So I'll flip it in present, so we'll just have the lesson text screen up there as we do this lesson this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 3, not given to birth is the name of the lesson. 1 Timothy chapter 3, not given to birth. You know, I'm really glad when anybody can tip their hats to God and furthermore, even to Jesus. You know, much of this religious world today has their focus on the birth of Jesus, and that's appropriate. It's always appropriate. And it's usually done in a lot of ways, many in various ways. And for me, the birth of Jesus is something to talk about just about any time and anywhere. And the reason is because it's quite encouraging and appropriate to talk about the birth of the Son of God whenever your mind gets to it. And it should be more often than not. Around this season of the year, around this time, around Christmas time, there are a lot of traditions. And most of the time, people look at these seasonal classic movies, and they love to see those, you know, like Frosty the Snowman and Charlie Brown Christmas. And one of the movies I want to talk about this morning is a movie that's called It's a Wonderful Life. Now, this movie came out in 1945. I don't know who was here to see that movie. But in 1945, it came out, and you know the story. It's been played a thousand times, even this particular season as well. It's about a guy named George Bailey. And he doesn't like his job, and he doesn't like his life at all either. He's tried to leave the place where he lives on several occasions, only to be met with something that opposes his departure and lands him right back in Bedford Falls. Now he's faced with a financial woe. He decides that the world would be better without him. All his finances, his world is coming crashing down, and he decides that the world would be better without him. So as the story goes, he tries to take his life. But even then, he's successful at that because there's an angel named Clarence. You ever heard of an angel named Clarence? Well, there's an angel named Clarence in this story who saves his life by showing him what would happen if he'd never been born. And finally, at the end of the movie, his perspective changes. He decides that it's a wonderful life after all, and he's happy to be a part of it. He decides it's a wonderful life, and he's happy to be alive. You know, as it pertains to Christians, do you think, even on today, that it's a wonderful life? Because today is all that we have, and do you think that it is a wonderful life, or do you think otherwise? I'm not implying it's going to be an easy life. But certainly in Christ, it can be a wonderful life for a variety of reasons. And one is that we only receive spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. Only. You know, the psalmist said in Psalm 34 and 8, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. And blessed is the man who trusts in him." I mean, when you taste and see for yourself what God has planned for us, you see that his way is the best way. Not what we have planned. When you taste and see the goodness of God, you know full well that God's way is the best way. And I'd like you to try it regarding your marriage. It's the best way. Try it regarding your finances. It is the best way. Your personal life. Try tasting God for yourself. Try seeing God for yourself in your personal life. It's a much better life. Try it in the life of your kids. I don't know how your relationship is. I can't know, but try it and see. God will put it together. And one thing about it is, you'll see that it's a real good thing for you and for the people that you're involved or engaged in as well as you bring God into their lives. See for yourself this morning if God's way really is a wonderful life. Probably never thought about your life being wonderful. A lot of people don't think about life in general. They think about their day-to-day plans as they live, but not their lives in general. But in Christ, I got to tell you this morning, it's a wonderful life. It's not an easy life. Peter said, if you suffer as a Christian. So it's not an easy life, but it's a wonderful life. It's all about perspective. Spiritual perspective gives us a wonderful look at Christ and how he guides us on our way. So in that movie, George decided that it would have been better if he had not been born, if he had not been given to birth. The next question that I want to ask, which is the crux of this lesson, I want you to listen closely and answer this for yourself. What if Jesus had never been born? A lot of people celebrate his birth on today and they say it was cold, but the Bible doesn't depict that at all. So the question is not all that. We're not going to get in the weeds with all that this morning. I have one simple question for each and every one of us. What if Jesus had never been born? How's your perspective on that? There was, of course, when Jesus was born, a segment of society who wished he had never been born. John 1:11 says, he came to his own, and his own received him not. It's something about kinfolks. Boy, I tell you, if it wasn't for kinfolks, we'd probably all go to heaven, huh? He came to his own, and his own received him not. John chapter 7, verses 1 and 5 says, after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee. For he did not want to walk in Judea because the Jews sought to kill him. Even his brothers didn't believe in him. Even his own brothers didn't believe in him. So as you can see, just from these two scriptures alone, there were people in Jesus' lifetime that very much wish that he had not been given to birth. They wish that he had never been born. Herod wished he had never been born. Herod didn't want to give up his reign as king. And the king was born and he was a little boy and he was still threatened because he wanted to kill Jesus. So the question this morning is, what would happen in our world? What would happen in your world, in my world, had Jesus not been born? Well, one thing is that his influence would not have been felt in various ways. For example, he had influence on women and their views of society, their value and the way the women were treated. It changed because of Jesus. He ran into a lot of instances where we find in scriptures that he dealt with women and he lifted them up and he healed them and he sent them on their way. The value and the way that women were treated was certainly changed because Jesus was born. Concerning children, children were not highly esteemed in that day at all. They were children. That's what they were. Even in my day, children were not esteemed as we should have been esteemed, and even earlier than that, because children were heard in what? You know the phrase. Children were heard and no, they were seen and not heard. That's what they were. And what a shame that was, because I know we had a lot to say, didn't we? His influence, because he was born, changed science. His influence because he was born changed education. He was a master teacher. His influence changed nationality. It changed the outlook on the whole world nationally as well. Because we became one people. There were no more Jews and Gentiles, Scythian or free. We all became one in Christ Jesus. We became the nation of spiritual Israel. The influence of Jesus, whether you want to know it or not, whether you see it or not, his influence is everywhere. And without denial, you can see it in art. I mean, everybody's had that Last Supper painting on their wall growing up. You see it in music and even in poetry. People sing gospel songs and they tip their hats to God even then, and in poetry they do as well. The influence of Jesus is seen in kindness and hope and generosity. It's seen in grace and forgiveness, even the forgiveness one to another. It's seen in time, Anno Domini. It's literally in the year of our Lord Jesus Christ. When I think about if Jesus had not been born, we find that the influence of Jesus has virtually affected everything, everything. And the bottom line is, if Jesus had never been born, all of these areas would have been negatively affected. And what about us? What about us? A lot of people are gathered to talk about the birth of Jesus Christ today. What a wonderful thing it is. What a wonderful thing it is. But I want to talk about what if he had never been born? And what about us? How would our lives be affected on a personal level had Jesus not been born? Let's bring it a little closer to home. How would my life be? How would your life be if Jesus had never, ever been born? Well, let me just tell you. We wouldn't be in this building this morning. We would not be gathered to have worship if Jesus had not been born. If he had not been born, we wouldn't partake in the Lord's Supper, because it's a memorial of the fact that he indeed was given to natural birth and was also the firstborn from the dead. We wouldn't be here. We wouldn't sing not one song of praise, not one song of his incarnation as God in the flesh. We wouldn't sing the song "Just As I Am," as the brother just led, without one plea. Jesus died for each and every one of us, and if he had not been born, that wouldn't have been possible. Had Jesus not been born, we would not be reading the New Testament, because the Bible says the New Testament was sealed by the blood of Jesus Christ. He bled and died for us, and he sealed the New Testament. One thing about it, if Jesus hadn't been born today, or at all, we wouldn't be talking about heaven at all, and everybody wants to go to heaven. Nobody wants to die, amen? If he had not been born today, we would not be talking about heaven. And tomorrow's future would be steeped in a lot of dismay. Our hope for eternity would never be realized. What is eternity? What is that? Only the darkest days would come. They would come to us and they would consume us with fear and uncertainty. And what a wonderful life it would be, wouldn't it? It just wouldn't be a wonderful life. It just wouldn't exist. I mean, we talk about the darkness that's out there, and if Jesus hadn't come, it would be dark. But we realize it's dark already. That's very true. It's dark already. But the light of life has come, and our lives are much better as a result of it. Had Jesus not been born, here's one for you. We wouldn't know each other. We wouldn't even know each other. Think about it. Our lives have been intersected primarily because of Jesus the Christ. We all Christians, we all one in the body of Christ because Christ was born into this world. I mean, think about it. What chances would there have been that we would have been meeting up and sitting together in this room on this day if Christ had not been born? Think about who you wouldn't know. It wouldn't even come into your mind at all. I've got a strong doubt that we wouldn't even know each other had Jesus not come. But there's a good bond and a strong bond that ties us together. It ties our hearts together in love. And had Jesus never been given birth, probably none of us, again, would know each other, and maybe not even our wives. Some of us met our wives in church. Some of us met our spouses and we taught them the gospel. If Jesus had not been born, none of that would have been possible at all. How sad it would be. No church family. How sad it would be, no church fellowship. How sad it would be, no personal friendships. I wouldn't know you, and you wouldn't even know me. You know, the landscape of our lives would be so very different had Jesus not intervened in our lives. But at just the right time, the Bible says, God sent his son. He sent him. And he intervened in our lives. And if he had not been born and not intervened in our lives, there'd be no reason to keep trying. We've got to keep trying because our hope is there. The world would be even more mean and dark without his grace and forgiveness. It would be more mean and dark without the love of God if Christ had not come. If Christ had not come, we would never, ever have seen God. He says, why do you ask me, Philip, about the image of my Father? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If Christ had not been born, we would not have any view of God at all. Think about that. I got to tell you, there'd be no realistic hope or expectation of living with God at all. There'd be no future life. Imagine just going to the graveyard and leaving your loved one there with no hope or expectation of a future life at all. How sad would that be? If Jesus hadn't been born, there'd be no example to follow. I mean, we can follow human examples and we can read self-help books. We can do all those things that they talk about. But the real example, the reality of our lives is Christ Jesus. That's who we serve and that's who we love. That's who we say we serve and that's who we say we love. The reality is Christ. If Jesus hadn't been born, there'd be no example to follow at all. Matthew 4:19 says, then he said to them, follow me. And I will make you fishers of men. You just follow me. 1 Peter 2:21. For to this you were called, Peter says, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps. If he had not been born, there'd be no poem about footprints in the sand. It just wouldn't be. If he were not born, we would not be commissioned to teach the gospel in our and have people to follow after the Christ just as we are. Let me just say this to you. We would not even have the perfect steps from the perfect Son of God had Jesus not been born. In attitude and in life, Christ is our perfect example. You know, we look at a lot of people and we love them. And we love them for who they are and we love them for what they do. Sometimes we idolize them. We do. But Christ is our perfect example. And had he not been born, here's a phrase for you. Had Christ not been born, what would be the Christian thing to do? You ever heard that? What is the Christian thing to do? Who would know? Who would know? The question would not even be entertained. It would not even be raised because we wouldn't have the example of Christ. The Christian thing to do. Here's one for you. If Christ had never been born, we wouldn't have a Savior. A Savior. Hallelujah. Thanks to God, we have a Savior. Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 21 says, and you shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Call his name Jesus. You shall call his name Emmanuel, for God will be with us. Yahweh saves. And I'm so grateful to God that he saves even me. Ephesians 2 and 12, that at that time you were without Christ. You were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of the promise. You had no hope and without God in the world. What a sad commentary. Because a man without hope, let me tell you something, is a man without hope. Amen. No hope in the world. No God in the world at all. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? Living all of your life, quote unquote, going to church and not really knowing who God is. Imagine that. Living all of your life spiritually and religiously and not knowing who God is. No hope. Hope would never be a possibility at all for any of us. But the fact of the matter is that Jesus did come, didn't he? He did come. Yes, he did. He was born into this world, and what a difference that makes even for me and for you. And I hope that it makes a difference for you. I hope that the birth of Jesus and the life of Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, I hope it makes a difference for you today and even in your future going forward. You know, I should open your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 3. We never got there. Let's try that right now. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16. 1 Timothy 3:16. This is what Paul writes to Timothy. Listen to God here. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. You see, Jesus came in the flesh. And we sit and we ask if he had never been born. But one truth concerning that he still would be alive. Why? If he'd never been born, he'd still be alive because he is God. He's God. He always existed. And whether he came in the world or not, it's not going to change his existence at all. Justified in the spirit. Without controversy. It's a great mystery. Manifested in the flesh. Justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up in heaven. And when you look at this passage, just like so many others in the scriptures, there are verbs that really mean something to us. Manifested. Think about Christ and his manifestation in our lives. Justified. Christ justifies us. He was seen by many before he ascended back to heaven after his resurrection. Preached on, believed on, and received in glory. All of those words speak of the difference Jesus Christ made by virtue of being born into this world. And I hope those words make a difference in your life as well. Because great is the mystery. But the mystery is now reality. He was preached and justified and manifested. He was seen and believed on, and he sits at the right hand of God in glory right now. If he had not been born, none of those benefits, those blessings would be ours at all. None. And everybody knows this scripture. It's one of the most looked at scriptures in the Bible, John 3:16. For God so loved the world, and he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not die. He shouldn't perish, but have everlasting life. For God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Call him Jesus. Call him Jesus. This time of the year, people exchange gifts and pleasantries, and they have fellowship and they have food. What a wonderful thing that is. But you know what 2 Corinthians 9:15 says? Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. We can even describe the gift of Jesus Christ coming from God. It's just too much for our fleshly minds, our carnal minds to even take in. But thank you, God, for that indescribable gift of your Son to us. I got to tell you, because of God's dear Son, because of Jesus Christ, God's Son and our Savior, I don't know about you. It's not an easy life, but it is a wonderful life. Amen. It's a wonderful life. It's a wonderful life. And it's a wonderful life because when I follow the best, I become my best. Amen? Amen. When we follow Christ, we become like Christ. When we read his word becomes a part of our life. When we live by faith, faith takes us to places that we can never think or imagine spiritually. It helps us to grow and to know our God. Let me tell you something. There is no better example. There's no brighter light. There's no finer influence than Jesus Christ, God's Son, our Savior. Had he not been born, there would be no influence. There would be no light, only darkness. There'd be no example at all of righteousness. Here's what Romans 8:29 says. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Who are these people that Paul is talking about to the church in Rome? Who are these people? They are the men and women who are willing to be conformed to the image of God's son. They are those people that God, he's willing to adopt as his very own, to be sons and daughters, to be children of God. We are adopted by God. What a wonderful blessing that is, because Christ was born into this world. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 32. And be kind one to another. Here we go again. It's Christmas, right? And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. If he had not come, he had not come. Let me tell you, the only rational reason that I have for forgiving someone who has done me something wrong is Jesus Christ. That's the most rational, practical, and spiritual reason that I have. I'm going to forgive you if you've done me something wrong, because Jesus Christ was born in this world. He had not been born, we'd be a blind and toothless generation. Eye for an eye, two for two. Amen. Blind and toothless. So the rationale for me is the Christ. And I can forgive because he has forgiven me. But you know, it's the opposite of what the flesh wants to do. We don't want to forgive anybody. We don't want to say we're sorry for nothing. And really and truly, when you boil it all down, we don't want to be bothered with anybody. That's what the flesh wants. It wants the opposite of what God wants. But the reason is a willing desire to follow the best so that you and I could be the very best for God. So when it comes to forgiveness, you know what? I don't have to carry around a ball and chain of guilt. When it comes to forgiveness, I don't have to carry around a ball and chain of bitterness. Or when it comes to forgiveness, I don't have to carry around a ball and chain of revenge. I'm going to get him back. It might not be today. I don't have to carry that around. I don't have to carry around a ball and chain of hate, because all of those things destroy our minds and they steal our happiness. And you know what? You can't even sleep good at night. Disrupts your sleep. But when I follow Christ, because he was born and he's the master teacher and he's a fine influencer and he is the son of God in the flesh, I become the best that I can be. I do. I want to tell you that I do. I really do enjoy a continuous celebration surrounding the birth of Jesus Christ. I mean, think about all that food, that gumbo that would go to waste today if Christ hadn't been born. Amen. Amen. What a wonderful thing it is to get together and, as Christians and even as family, to fellowship and to eat around a table and to reminisce on things past and promises for the future, to know that we love one another and that God loves us as well. I enjoy a continuous celebration surrounding the birth of Christ. I really do. And I really appreciate when people tip their hat to Christ. It doesn't matter what day of the week it is. It doesn't matter if it's your birthday, if it's your anniversary. It doesn't matter if it's what the world calls Christmas. I appreciate the fact that people tip their hats to God. Because for me, it's quite encouraging. And it's appropriate to talk about the birth of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, anytime, anywhere, with anyone. How about you? Is it appropriate for you to talk about the birth of Christ anytime? Or do you only wait for Christmas to see those statues of a manger and a goat or a cow? And let me tell you, anytime, anywhere, with anyone, is it appropriate for us to talk about the birth of Jesus Christ, God's Son, and our Savior? Here's your Merry Christmas from God. Listen to this. Luke chapter 2, 7-11. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people, for there is born to you this day in the city of David, our Savior, Christ the Lord." Christ the Lord. George Bailey wasn't too convinced that he had a wonderful life. I don't know about us as Christians, if we're convinced that we have a wonderful life as well. Again, it's not going to be an easy life. Oh, but can anybody steal your joy? Can you allow that to happen? We're not happy every day, but the joy that comes from God can just overrun our cups if we allow it to. Give the gift of life. Give the gift of Christ today. Give the gift of teaching someone about the love of God today. Take a hand and hold it and comfort someone's heart today. Speak to someone who might be in distress or dismayed today. Speak to those people who are overkill with happiness and need a frontal lobotomy. Speak to them today. It's the Lord's Day, but the world calls it Christmas Day. It's the Lord's Day every first day of the week, and anytime anybody wants to tip their hat to talk about God with me, bring it on. Birth, death, burial, resurrection, ascension, sitting at the right hand of the Father, even right now. We're talking about restoration. We're talking about salvation. We're talking about eternal life in Jesus Christ, God's Son, our Savior. Because he was born, you can forgive me, and I can forgive you, because Christ and God forgave us all. And you might not have to forgive me today, but don't die. Amen. Because you'll never have a chance to do it. That's why. You know, Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, "Nicodemus, you have to be born again." And there might be some people out there who have never been born, who have never been given the spiritual birth at all, never been born into Christ, never been baptized into Christ. Here's your opportunity to receive that wonderful life. To know that your life is not just what you can make it. It could be what God has called you to be. That's what your life can be. But you've got to surrender your will to Christ. You've got to stop throwing these pity parties and wanting to take your life because you don't feel like you're worth it. You must be born again. You're going to have a wonderful life. You want your perspective changed. You've got to hear God's word. Doesn't matter what day of the week it is. You've got to believe that Jesus is Christ, the Son of the true and living God. Or you've got to repent of your sins. You've got to say you're sorry. You've got to be forgiven. You've got to confess Christ. I mean, the day is a day to talk about the Christ, isn't it? The whole world is focused on Christ. But don't just talk about him. Confess him and live as if he is your Savior. You can do that. You can be baptized into that same Jesus Christ in water for the remission of your sins. It's by your faith. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes by the word of God. For we all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ, have been born into Christ, have been given in birth. What a wonderful thing it is to know God this morning and to receive the gift of life from his Son, Jesus Christ, who was born, lived, died, and was resurrected right here on this earth, God in the flesh. Thank God, hallelujah, for the Christ. If we can help you today to be born in Christ, why don't you come as we stand and sing invitation song.
There's a fountain free, 'tis for you and me. Let us haste, oh, haste to his brink.
Where they want to accept the gospel this morning?
Where
they want to come forward and know that Christ is the answer to all of our problems, to all of our woes. That Christ is the answer to our happiness. Will you come?